I love being out west. It's so different than the east. I love it. And so I want to begin each time with telling you one thing that I love in particular about West Branch, or you could even say the West in general, okay? And if you tell my friends back east that I speak so glowingly of the West, I will say I never said it because they'll think I'm a traitor, all right? But one of the things that I love that it didn't take very long to find out is I love the mornings and the evenings at West Branch. It's incredible. In North Carolina, it's like you wear a blanket of water all day long. And to be able to come out in the morning, I'm like, now you guys take it for granted, but I just walk out. I'm like, this is wonderful. I don't sweat to death, and it's you know, it's just great. The humidity is low, the weather. Now, I know the afternoons are a little warmer. I understand that. But, man, I love the mornings and the evenings, so I hope you do too. Exodus chapter number 3 is where we're at. I want you to take your Bibles there. And because I'm going to read a little bit of a passage, I'll let you be seated. But I want you to pay attention as I read maybe what for some of you is a very familiar story. Right in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land, unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And then verse 9, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And after reading this story to you this morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've entitled, Finding Holy Ground. You know, I don't know what all you're going to do this week. I hope you're going to play some volleyball or some basketball, some ping pong, some foosball. But boy, if there's nothing else that you do this week, one thing that I hope you'll do is that you'll be able to find holy ground. Now, when I talk about finding holy ground, what am I talking about? Well, let's talk about the word holy for just a moment. You know, the word holy is probably one of the most misused words in our society today. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, it's so overused. It's so cheapened in our society. For instance, holy smokes. Somebody might say, holy mackerel. Somebody says, holy cow. Wouldn't you like to see a holy cow? I've just envisioned a Holstein with a halo on its head. Or somebody might even exclaim, holy moly. Now, this is not a trick question. How many of you in this room, at some point in your life, you've used one of those expressions? Anybody? I have. I'll raise both hands. Some of you are like, you're asking those preacher got you questions. You ever had that happen before? The preacher asks a question, you raise your hand, and afterwards you're like, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have answered that. But you know, all of us have used the word holy in one of those exclamations, probably. But don't forget the fact of what the word holy means. It means dedicated to God. It means consecrated, set apart. It means pure. Okay? So when I'm talking about holy ground, I'm not talking about holy moly. I'm not talking about a holy cow. I'm talking about a piece of ground in Moses' life that was set aside. It was very special. But the reason that it was special was not because it was on the nicest piece of real estate. As a matter of fact, it's out in the desert. I was telling people this morning, I had to return phone calls, and I said, I just wander out into the field until bars pop up on my phone. And I speak to you, and if it drops, it's okay. It just means that there's bad signal here. You know, people look and they say, you know, there's not a lot around here. Well, the same was true in the life of Moses. He is in the middle of a desert. Okay? Some of you are like, I'm acquainted with desert living. The first quarter of his life, or the first third of his life, he spends it in Egypt, and then he spends it in a wilderness, and then the last part of his life he's going to spend it leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt and beyond. But it was at this point in the life of Moses, it was very pivotal. It's when God took a man out of the wilderness and is going to change his life in a dramatic way. Why is it holy ground? It's not because it's in a desert, but because it is where God speaks to Moses and Moses obeys God. That's holy ground. Now, young people, this week, I hope that in every service, I hope that you look back in your life and you see places where you have found holy ground, where God speaks to you through His Word and you obey Him and it changes your life. That's why when you come to every service, I hope you'll sit up and you'll pay attention. Sometimes young people, they say, oh, that preacher, he gets bent out of shape if I don't pay attention. Well, I do, but do you know why I get bent out of shape when you don't pay attention? It's not because I'm personally offended that you think my preaching is boring. But it's the fact that every time you hear the Bible preached, do you know who wrote the Bible? God. And when the Bible is being preached, that's God wanting to speak to you. That's the most offensive part about it. But have you ever found holy ground in your life? You say, well, I'm not really sure. Well, if you'll listen to the experience of Moses, I think that you'll find out what holy ground looks like, and you'll be able to identify it in your life, and I believe that you'll be able to experience it in your life even this week. Because let me tell you something, God will change your life when you find yourself on holy ground. Now, to help you understand it, there's four things that I want you to see this morning. Number one is that holy ground is a place of remembrance. It's a place that you never forget. In verses 2 and 3, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Now, how unlikely is that? It would be like you wandering around here, the campus of West Branch, and you just come upon just a puny shrub. By the way, yesterday I saw all kinds of fire warnings everywhere. High risk of fire, no campfires. And you walk by a bush, and that bush is on fire, and yet it's not being consumed. It's not turning black. It's not falling apart. And Moses sees this. And the bush burns, the bush is not consumed. And Moses said, now I will turn aside and see the great sight why the bush is not burnt. Do you know Moses has something in common with a lot of you? You say, what is that? He was curious, he was nosy. Have you ever seen something that got your attention and it sort of stopped you in your tracks and you just stopped and you went over to look at it? Years ago at Ambassador, when I was a dormitory supervisor, every Friday, I would go into the dormitory and I would do a white glove inspection. And boy, if there was ever a day you wanted to make sure you had everything together, it was on Fridays. And as I walked through, I'll never forget, one day I was looking, and this one guy had his stuff. It was immaculately neat. His dresser drawer top and his cabinet space. It was incredible how neat it was. And I remember I took a coin that he had on the desk and I looked at it and I put it back down and I just continued my inspection. Well, that night I gave dorm devotions, and I'll never forget that young man whose room I inspected that I just told you about. He raised his hand. He said, "Brother Bill, can I say something?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And he looked at everybody in the room and he said, "Somebody's been messing with my stuff and I want them to stop it." And he was really sharp about it. Well, afterwards I went up to this young man and I said, "How do you know somebody was going through your stuff?" He said, "I lay my coins on top of my counter a specific way and one of them was turned differently." And he said, "I want them to stop it." I looked at him and I said, "I hate to tell you, but I was the one who did it." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I was just walking through the room and I looked and everything just looked so perfect. I just said, I got to go over here and look at this." And I picked that up. And so the rest of the semester, we played a game. I would pick something up of his, put it down, and without fail, he could tell me what I had moved. Now, ladies, how would you like to be married to a guy like that? But have you ever had something in curiosity just catch you and you're just like, "Man, I'm going to go see that." That's exactly what happens to Moses. And what Moses sees is a miraculous thing. I'll guarantee you, many years later, "Moses, tell us about that burning bush." He would be like, "How could I ever forget it? I'd never seen anything like it." It was an experience that Moses had had. And you know, when we think about that burning bush, I'm reminded of this fact, young people. God knows how to get your attention. Moses is going through the wilderness, and God knows exactly what to do to cause that man to stop in his tracks and walk over and say, "Whoa, I'm going to stop here for a moment." And young people, God knows how to get your attention. God knows what to bring in your life. It may not be a burning bush. It won't be a bush that's burned fire and it's not consumed. But it could be a life event. It could be a circumstance of life. Listen, everything that happens in your life, young people, is not an accident. It's by God's design. It's by His providence. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you look back in your life, you're like, "Well, I've only lived like 12 years, you know." Some of you are like, "Well, I want you to know I've lived 18. I've lived a full life." But let me ask you a question. When you look back in your life, has there ever been a memorable time where God dealt with you in a specific way? Can I tell you, I'm afraid that there are many people that they would say, "God's never dealt with me in a specific, powerful way." I'm not talking now about experience. Listen, if I wanted you to have an experience, I would have you go back to your cabin, take a butter knife and stick it in the electrical outlet. You'll have an experience, okay? It's not just for the mere thrill of, "Boy, I've got to have a feeling." But can I tell you, when God deals in your heart in a very pointed way, listen to me, it'll be a time that you'll never forget. Yep. One of the reasons that you're here at camp is because God wants to touch your life in a way that you'll never forget. It may be that years from now, you're like, "You know, my burning bush was at West Branch when I went in July and my heart was far from God and God worked in my heart and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I got right." It's a week that I'll never forget. It could be for some of you, your burning bush is that you came to camp, you were either not sure you were saved or you knew that you weren't saved and you were unwilling to humble yourself. And maybe in an evening service or a morning service or after devotions in a cabin one night, God had gripped your heart so much that you settled the question of your salvation. Listen to me, that's something you should never forget. And yet there seems to be many Christians today, their lives are unaffected by God. The burning bush, the holy ground, it's a place of remembrance. But not only is it a place of remembrance, young people, I want you to see that holy ground is a place of revelation. It's a place of revelation. When I'm talking about revelation, I'm talking about a place where God speaks. Notice with me in verse 4, it says, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of a bush, and he said, Moses, Moses." And Moses responds, "Here I am." You're in the middle of a desert. You're a shepherd. And what do shepherds listen to all day? This. Baa! 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 How would you like to hear that all day? You're a shepherd. You're out in the middle of the wilderness, in the wilderness, and you see a bush, and you don't hear baa! You hear Moses. Moses, a voice coming from somewhere that you would not expect. Years ago, I traveled for a number of summers with groups from Ambassador. And I remember one of my best friends at the time, and still is, we were traveling together and we were both staying in the same home. And after the service, we ate a meal with the family, and they gave each of us our own bedroom. We were really excited about that because sometimes we'd get crammed in the same bed and somebody snores or somebody spreads out. It's like, I'll just sleep on the floor. But we each got our own bed. And so I remember my friend and I, as we were turning in for the night, he looked at me and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I think I'm going to take a shower first and then I'm going to go to bed." I said, "All right." I said, "I'll take mine in the morning." So he goes into his room. I go into my room. And then he leaves his room and he goes into the bathroom. And I thought to myself, this is my moment. And so I got ready for bed and then I marched into his bedroom and I got into the closet. And it was a closet that had the slats in the door where if you look out, you can see, but they can't see you. And so I just stood there for what seemed like forever. And finally, after the long shower he took, he gets out of the bathroom. He goes into the bedroom. I remember he laid down his bed. He took his little red Bible. He was reading it. And he shut his Bible and he set it down and he turned the lamp off. And he just laying there in the bed. I can't see anything. It's dark. And about that time, after about 10 seconds and he was getting settled in, I just went, and when I did that, I mean, I didn't see him, but I could hear him. He was flailing his arms. He knocked the lamp over and he's like, "What in the world is going on?" You know, when you hear a voice that you're not really expecting in a situation like that, listen, even the bravest of us would fall to pieces. And here Moses is, the bush, the voice comes from the bush and it calls him by name. Now listen, bushes don't talk. But when a bush calls you by name, that's pretty heavy. You know, we look at that and we say, boy, that was something special. Why, this is God personally dealing with Moses. He calls him by name. You know, one of the reasons I like to learn camper names at camps? Number one, you can pray for them. Number two, when somebody's cutting up during the service, after trying to kindly get their attention, you can call them by name. I don't do that very often, but if somebody's really going to be a real pill, then it's like, all right, after I've done everything I could. It's amazing. When you call them by name, they go like this. And everybody else goes like that too. Everybody else's heads just snap up. God calls Moses by name. And here's the thing, young people. God gives Moses some personal revelation. Now, how does God speak to us today? Afterwards, if I say, all right, listen up. Afterwards, we're going to see if God's going to speak to us. I want all of you to just cover all the property here at West Branch. And I want you to go stand beside of a bush and wait for it to talk to you. You'd be waiting a long time. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, but young people, do you know how God speaks to you? It's that book that's in your laps right now.
Right.
The Bible. That's why I don't think you ought to throw it on the floor. That's why I think you ought not use it as a coloring book. That's why I think you ought to treat it with respect. Why? Because it's God's Word.
Yep.
And God's given you that book. And that book ought to be a personal book to you. Let me ask you a question. Look this way. I want you to think about the last month of your life before you ever came to camp and you're reading the Bible. When's the last time you ever read the Bible and you felt like it was just for you? Now, that's not just a good question for teens. That's a great question for adults. When's the last time you read the Bible and you're like, you know what, that was for me? Sometimes a burning bush moment's not in a chapel service at the ranch, sometimes, or at the West Branch. Sometimes it's when you're reading the Bible and you're like, whoa, wait a second, that is exactly for me. Young people, I'm afraid that there are a lot of teens that holy ground is totally foreign to them. Listen, holy ground is a place where God speaks directly to you through His Word and you say, yes, I will obey. It's a place of revelation. When's the last time you read the Bible and you said, man, that was good. That was for me. Hey, have you ever ate a meal and when you got finished with the meal, you're like, man, that was good. Jeremiah said it this way, thy words were found and I did eat them and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, I found the word and he said, I took it in and it made me rejoice. He said, it was great. Why? Because it was personal to him. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Have you ever sat down and ate a meal and it was so good when you were done, you looked at somebody else and you're like, man, that was good. Ooh. Maybe some of you have already done that this week at camp. You're like, man, did you eat that barbecue? I could eat three sandwiches. You sit down at home and your mom cooks something and you're like, man, that was so good. And you're telling everybody else about it. That's the same heart that Jeremiah had about the Word of God. Young person, if you want to have holy ground, you have to understand it's a place of revelation where God speaks to you through His Word and you receive it. Did you know that when we preach, when we preachers preach, when Brother Troy preached and Brother Glenn preached, did you know we actually see people while we're preaching? Did you know that? We can see who's Joe Cool. They're just like, we can see some of you that your first night of camp, you didn't really sleep well and you're sort of paying for it right now. And then we can see some of you, I mean, there's sometimes, believe it or not, in preaching, some people are on the edge of their seat. They're like on every word. Well, you know, you can tell when somebody's listening and somebody's tolerating you. And when you're tolerating it, listen, you're not helped, are you? And sometimes people can sit there and they can just turn you off. Years ago, I remember going to a family reunion and I had a cousin, a distant cousin that I'd never met before who was deaf without his hearing aids. And yet with the help of hearing aids, he could hear some. And one day I remember watching his dad, and I was looking at it from a distance, and his dad was waving his finger and pointing at him like this. And I remember watching my cousin, while his dad was talking to him like this, my cousin went like this. And it was funny, after my cousin touched his ears, I saw his dad go from this to this. You know what he had done? He had turned his hearing aids off. He didn't want to hear what his dad had to say. Now, some of you are like, that's really disrespectful. You're right, it is. But I'm going to tell you, as disrespectful as that is, it's far worse when you do that to God.
Right.
When's the last time you sat in a service and God gripped your heart where it was almost like He called your name? When's the last time you read the Bible and you were like, boy, I'm going to tell you what, that was just for me. Listen, I know that may not happen every single day, but I'm talking to some of you here. You don't even have a memory of holy ground. And God wants to change your life. Number one, holy ground is a place of remembrance. Number two, it's a place of revelation. Number three, it's a place of reverence. Verse 5, after he hears his name, he says, And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So now God tells Moses, stop, don't move. Take off your shoes, because you're on holy ground. What if Moses would have said, no, I ain't doing that. I know, ain't's a good Eastern Southern word. It's the word of the day at West Branch, ain't, all right? I ain't into that. And Moses just walks off. You know what would happen if Moses had not had respect to God? He would have missed one of the greatest opportunities in life. When I was a kid growing up, I loved dirt. I loved mud. We had a house, we had a place where we had a field in front of our where we lived that the creek would overflow. And I always loved that because when it would overflow and the water would sit there, finally when it would recede, you could get into mud up to your waist. I loved it. Man, I'd get out there and just wallow in it, smear it all over me, you know. But then whenever I came home, my mom would see me and she's like, uh-uh. You're not coming in here. We had a well. She said, you go out there and you hose yourself off really good and you're not going into this place until you do that first. And I'd go over there, and there on occasion, there'd be times I'd hose myself off. I'd go to the door and stand before mom and she's like, mm-mm, go back. Not good enough. But there was no way that I was ever going to get in that place until I got cleaned up. And young people, I'm convinced that there are a lot of teenagers today that are missing God's best in their lives because when God does try to work in their hearts, instead of responding in holiness and reverence, they just walk away. Listen to me, you can't be full of the world and have the best that God has for you. How many of you ladies, would you like to marry a fine Christian gentleman that treated you with great respect and treated you like Christ treats the church? You know, if that's the case, if you have a heart that's full of the world, you'll never find it. Do you want what's best for your life or what's worse? If you want the worst for your life, you just let your heart be full of the world, and instead of responding to God dealing in your heart with holiness, just walk away with a calloused heart, and I promise you, there's a road of sorrow. Listen to me, when God deals with you about your salvation, when God deals with you about surrendering to Him, when God deals with you about sin in your heart, that's not the time to walk away. That's the time to take off your shoes and respond in respect and reverence. You ever been in a grocery store where you heard some child talk to their parents in a way that you knew that if you ever talked to your parents that way, you would be 6 feet under? You're like, boy, that kid's disrespectful. But sometimes we're that way. I was raised in a household where I was taught to say yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. But you know, in spite of all those manners that I had learned, I still managed to disrespect my parents. Listen, there you may be here, you're like, man, I've been raised in church all my life. And there may be others of you, you're like, man, this is like sort of new to me. But you know, all of us, we know how to respect God, but sometimes we just don't. We just walk away in disrespect and irreverence. Can I challenge you with something? When you sit this week and you hear the preaching, whether it comes out of my mouth or Brother Glenn's or Brother Carlson's, can I tell you something? When God deals in your heart, that's not the time to make excuse and embrace the world. That's the time to take off your shoes and obey God. Holy ground. I'd love for all of you to walk out of here saying, you know what? As I was at West Branch, I was on a place and hold holy ground where God dealt in my heart and I followed Him. Number one, it's a place of remembrance. Number two, it's a place of revelation. Number three, it's a place of reverence. But the last thing that I want you to see is that this holy ground was a place of redirection. Do you realize that it's in this passage, verses 1 through 10, that God takes a man who's a shepherd and now He's going to use him to lead a nation? Do you ever need changes in your life? You do. My life has changed a lot since I was a kid. Appearance, weight, but direction, desires. You know, as I was a kid, I just wanted to eat cotton candy all day and drink sodas and play video games. But you know, it's amazing when God gets a hold of your heart, He starts changing your direction. You know, there's places for me. In this story, Moses is taken from a wilderness and he's going to be sent into leading a nation of Israel. Do you know what I believe could happen this week? I believe that God could take a young man from serving himself to one day setting his direction towards a mission field. I believe that God could take the heart of a young lady who is all about herself right now and redirect her life to where one day she lives for Christ and she lives for others like the world has never seen. But it'll never happen unless you find that holy ground and you obey God. You know, I'd like to close the message by telling you a little bit about some holy ground in my life. This is not an exhaustive summary at all, but can I tell you a little bit about my life? As a kid, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was taken on a church van every Sunday from the age of 12 till about, or 10 until about the age of 12 when I got saved. I'll never forget, I was sitting in a Sunday morning service. They would scatter, they would bring all of the junior church kids up to the adult service one Sunday a month, and they were starting to teach us how to sit in the adult service. And I'll never forget it, we were spread out, but we had adults that were spread out among us. All of us were within a hand reach of an adult who had been trained where to pinch us that would not leave a mark but have high amounts of pain. Right. And I'm sitting in a service as a 12-year-old boy. I was raised in a drunkard's home. And that morning, the gospel that you heard preached this morning was preached, and last night was preached. And as I sat in that service, I knew that I was lost and undone as a 12-year-old boy, and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, later on that afternoon in the privacy of my bedroom, I took out a gospel tract and I took God at His word that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that day was holy ground that I'll never forget. We can talk about all kinds of other decisions this week, but I'm going to tell you what, if you've never found that parcel, that's where you start. Yep. Some of you are like, what all do you remember about that day? I don't remember the date. I do remember the day because it was under church, in church when I got under such conviction. I couldn't tell you the exact month. I couldn't even tell you everything that I prayed. But one thing that I can tell you is that God gripped my heart under conviction. And that day I called upon Christ to be my Savior and He saved me. And it's a holy ground that I'll never forget. And yet there may be for some of you, there's a void in your heart. And I'm not so much talking about a calendar date or just a vivid array of memories. But my friend, if it's totally foreign to you, you can do like some friends of mine. They made professions at an early age, and sometimes they had doubts. And you know what happened? They came to a point in their life, they said, man, I'm just tired of doubting. This is what God's Word says, and I believe it, and they nailed it down. But whatever the case, listen, that's holy ground. For 3 years of my life, I lived as just a really carnal teenager. Just sort of wanted to do my own thing. I went to public school. How many of you go to public school? Anybody? It's all right. I went to public school. I'm normal too. All right. That's good. But you know what? I went to public school and the world started pulling me this way and God started pulling me this way. I felt like I was being torn apart. I wanted the acceptance here, but yet I'd go to church and God would work in my heart. And finally, as a 15-year-old boy, I'll never forget it. It was in an evening service. God gripped my heart and I said, okay, God, I said, I don't know what You want me to do, but Lord, I want my body to be a living sacrifice, and whatever You want me to do, God, that's what I want to do. I didn't know what it was. God could have said, I want you to be a garbage collector. I'd said, all right, put me on the first truck. But that evening, just as sure as you're sitting in a chair and I'm standing before you, I knew that I was not my own, but that I'd been bought with a price. And I said, God, instead of fighting you, I'm going to surrender to you. I'll never forget it as a 15-year-old boy when I did that. 2 years later, when I was a senior in public high school, God dealt very pointedly in my heart about being a preacher of the gospel. On a Wednesday morning service. How about that? I'll never forget it. Why? Because it was a place where God spoke to my heart through His Word. And I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. You know, I'm a few years down the road now. 48 years old, soon to be 49. Gray hair. Getting slower every day. But I'm going to tell you, I will never regret one moment on holy ground. And if there's anything that I could encourage you this week, when God deals in your heart, listen to me, take off your shoes, obey Him. Because God will take holy ground and He'll redirect your life. I want you to find everything that I've found and a lot more. And it comes by obeying the Lord when you're on holy ground. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.